We're going to talk tennis now. And Stephen Higgins of crosscourtview.com is with us in studio here as we're watching a marathon women's singles final in Paris between Aryna Sabalenka and Coco Gauff. 7-6 for Sabalenka in a tiebreak. She took the tiebreak 7-6. Gauff comfortably taking the second set 6-2. And in the third set, Stephen?
Well, Gauff is 30 love up on Sabalenka's serve. We're 3-all in the third set, and there's so much stress in the court, you can almost feel it in your bones watching it.
Sabalenka, it's so, her body language is pure stress.
There might be a search party needed in the Bois de Boulogne to try rediscover and find Aryna Sabalenka's game. At the moment, she's made 62 unforced errors, which is unbelievable for the world number one in a Grand Slam final. It's the kind of match that an underdog probably prays for. Not that Coco Gauff's much of an underdog, the world number two, a former finalist here, but Sabalenka is completely off today. The first set.
So did you see her there just as we speak, shouting up to her, like angrily at her coach?
It's actually a panic and a stress that she would have had a few years ago before her game kind of settled down. Sabalenka's always had unbelievable power, but she had a lot of unforced errors along with them for a lot of her career. It's only over the last maybe 3 or 4 years where she's kind of found a framework for her game to get the best out of it. And she has been the best player in the world, no question, over the past year, particularly as Iga Swiatek has struggled. I wonder about this match, and as we see, her cough is just broken. I wonder, is it the exertion from the match against Swiatek? In some senses, on the women's game, beating Iga Swiatek, the four-time champion at Roland Garros, is a bit like beating Nadal at Roland Garros, or as close as you're going to get on the women's side.
On Thursday evening.
And it was such an emotional battle. And in the final set, Sabalenka won 6-love, absolutely clobbered the pole. I just wonder, she started this match in the same vein. She got out to a 4-1 lead in the first set, and we kind of were thinking, is this even going to make an hour? And then suddenly her game just evaporated, and lots of errors have come in, and lots of stress. She's tried little experiments as well with drop shots and slices. Generally, they haven't worked today. Gauff is playing brilliantly under the situation of having to just wait to see what's coming off Sabalenka's racket. Of course, Gauff has incredible athleticism. She's been here before. She lost to Swiatek in the final. And she's played as solid a game as she can under circumstances, but she has her own demons, with her second serve, with her forehand. And so this is just an incredibly stressful final set of them both battling the demons in their game.
Yeah, but to me now, the untrained eye of watching elite tennis, Gauff appears much calmer. Sabalenka is angry with herself and everyone else around her.
Yeah, I mean, they all have different emotional kind of visibilities. But like, Gauff gives you very little anyway. So even if Gauff is struggling in her game, she's not going to show that to the opponent in the same way. Sabalenka is quite emotional in terms of what her reactions are, but she's usually very good at letting that disappear and evaporate. So she has a reaction to a point, moves on to the next point, and goes along. This is kind of the worst level I've seen for her in like well over a year anyway, because she's been so dominant. She made six finals in her last 9 tournaments before she even came into Roland Garros. She did lose the Australian Open final, but Madison Keys played the match of her life in that incredible fortnight of her life. But it's strange to see someone so dominant play so stressed and really struggle with the fundamentals of her game. But of course, that's why we watch sports and we watch finals for that kind of pressure.
So 4-3 to Gauff in the final set, 15 each. Gauff is serving. And you made the point about Sabalenka beating Swiatek in that, the Battle of the Giants on Thursday night, whereas Coco Gauff had an easier semi-final against Boisson, the surprise French entrant. And people were wondering, oh, maybe it'll not stand to Gauff that she's had an easier semi-final, but that's not the case.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, we've been talking about Coco Gauff as a big-time player since she was 15. Beating Venus Williams, like, she has.
But she's only won one Grand Slam.
Yeah, but she's 21. She's been in 3 finals. So we're holding her to high standards. Mm-hmm. The one thing about Gauff is she has had a few fundamental issues in her game. The desire, the athleticism, her application have always been stellar. The issues have sometimes been the forehand has broken down under pressure. Swiatek particularly exposed that a lot. And her second serve can be quite ropey. And they've been fundamental technical issues that she's had to overcome, and she's still battling with them, and they're probably things that she'll battle with throughout her career, because as we've seen with a lot of players, it's very hard to adjust and add things to your game. You can't judge people by the big three guys. They're complete outliers in terms of adding things into their game and making it look seamless. Sabalenka is actually a good case in point there, where she has expanded her game over the past couple of years, bringing in a drop shot, bringing in a slice. it doesn't look the prettiest because you can see it's been something that's been worked on and coached. But that's what it's like for a more normal player, even the number one. When Djokovic started adding volleys into his repertoire, when Nadal was adding in a slice, they made it look after a while as if they had always been doing that their entire life because they were so gifted, you know, preternaturally gifted.
I can't see Sabalenka winning this just based on the whole body language. Now, Goff,
yeah,
it's serving to go 5-3 up.
Yeah, so Goff is 40-15 and it's 4-3. And it's remarkable because if we have a situation where Sabalenka is 3-5 down, third set, and she's serving to stay in it, on what we've seen so far, you don't really fancy
broken.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's taking it there. So we have Sabalenka serving to stay in the final.
Wow. Mention of Boisson there, the unheralded French woman who came through. She's only 22. Tell us her story because it's a great story.
Yeah, so Laos Boisson, actually, kind of unfairly, I first heard of her a few months ago because she played against Harriet Dart, the British player. And there was this kind of meme that went around where Harriet Dart was annoyed or whatever during the match and gave out to the umpire saying, will the other player put on some deodorant because it's really putting me off. Which is very unfair and kind of a ridiculous thing to talk about. I don't know how many people smell great anyway.
That was a shocking thing.
Yeah, shocking thing to say and completely kind of ridiculous thing to say. But Boisson kind of made light of it on social media and kind of had a little graphic thrown up about it. But that was the first I'd ever heard of her, and that was a few months ago. But she came into tournament 361 in the world. Now, she had been higher in the 120s but had a serious ACL injury about a year ago. But she was completely unheralded, a wild card coming in. And she just stormed the tournament and got to the stage where she was playing so well, you wondered how she hadn't been here before. So she started by, she took out the 24th seed, Elise Mertens. Then her big results were later on in the tournament where she took out the world number 3, Jessica Pegula. And then poor Mira Andreeva, who was a super player, but is only 18 and could not handle the situation with the French crowd, with a very boisterous partisan crowd. She just could not deal with it. But Boisson is a gorgeous player to watch in terms of incredible movement, a slice, brilliant spinny forehand, perfect for clay. And she has a great mentality as well. And she just kind of came up in the end against Goff, who's just a more stellar player, someone who's experienced a lot of those situations at a higher level. But definitely the final of the tournament, the story of the tournament. And hopefully for her, oh yeah, the prize money is a big thing with Boisson.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Tournaments can change lives, particularly for lower players, because money is really important. Obviously, once you get beyond the top 50 and the top 100, money is hard to come by, paying for coaches, physios, etc. So before the event, she had made about 140,000 in her career, or 148,000, say. Having got to the semi-final, she earned $789,000 by getting to the semi-final.
In 2 weeks,
dwarfing her career earnings to that point. Now, hopefully for her, it isn't just a kind of flash in the pan and a great fortnight and great sport at home. She has a brilliant rounded game. So really hope we see her kind of push on at Wimbledon US Open and back up this kind of results.
I'm so taken aback by that Harriet Dart story, the British player saying that about her.
Yeah,
it's as bad a thing as I've heard.
Well, it's kind of a ridiculous thing. I mean, people say a lot of stupid things and stressful moments, but I think it's a novel criticism that I've heard.
And it's just stupid and it's raw.
Yeah, in fairness to Dart, she apologised afterwards. So, like,
that
she,
was you know, a big deal. Anyway, maybe I shouldn't be getting so upset about it. But anyway, so fair play to Boisson. She's got her $250,000. And how is this game going now with Goff? On her way to victory, we think. 5-3 up, Sabalenka serving. She's the most powerful female player, is she? Or
yeah, actually, Sabalenka's numbers. So Sabalenka's 30-15 up on her serve. Her raw figures for actually forehands will be up there with the top guys. Yeah. Possibly not Jannik Sinner last night, but I've seen her in practice as well. She hits an enormous ball when she's set on the backhand or the forehand.
Well, let's talk about that. The Sinner against Djokovic, which I was flicking between it and the Ireland match last night. The power of Sinner. He didn't appear to be, John Farrell, we were just talking about, even sweating towards the end of it. And Djokovic, ultimately, the 38-year-old couldn't live with him.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, I thought it was funny. I think I've put out a post about it's very strange to see Novak Djokovic as a scrappy underdog against a video game version of himself, basically, that he has begot all these players of Sinner's very much, you know, in the bloodline of a Djokovic type of player. He has a bit more power, but his game and his style are so similar to the Serb. And yeah, we get to the point where there's a 15-year age gap last night. Yeah. You're talking about Djokovic, who had to go into Geneva before Roland Garros because he had no wins on clay and desperately needs some confidence. He did win the title, his 100th title overall, by the way. But it's just the changing of the guard that we have seen evident over the past couple of years. He was the last person hanging on of that incredible Big Four generation. But if you take out that Olympic result last year, which was a phenomenal performance, he has been well below the levels that we expected of him for the past year and a half. And he's just coming up against the steam train of the Italian and obviously the incredible mercurial talent of Carlos Alcaraz.
Yeah, and so who do you fancy between Alcaraz then?
Well, actually, Alcaraz has a really good record against Sinner. He's a 7-4 head-to-head and he's won the last four matches, which seems hard to think of because Sinner's been so dominant for so long. But Alcaraz has lots of different parts of his game, particularly the finesse, the drop shot, to make things uncomfortable for Sinner. Clay is Alcaraz's best surface. I just think it'll be really long. I think the one thing about it is, I think Sinner's playing so well, Alcaraz playing so well. I think it could easily be five sets. I think it could easily be 4 hours. I don't think either of them are going to stay. Like, they're not going to roll through the other one in three sets. So I think you can get your food and your snacks and already, because I think it'll be a very long one. And I do think Alcaraz is a slight favourite because of the head-to-head and because it's on clay. But I think it's a little bit of a toss-up. They're so far removed from the rest of the tour at this point.
All right. Sabalenka has advantage 5-3 down, serving to stay in the match, as Stephen said. There was a shot there of Sabalenka's coach. He looks like a boy who's waiting to get given out to by his mother. He looks terrified sitting there.
I'm sure he likes the 10% bonus or whatever it is of all the tournament wins.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. All right, well, Stephen Higgins, thank you very much. Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com, and you can get more on the tennis on that.
This is Saturday Sport on RTE Radio 1.
The French final is over, Stephen.
Coco Gauff is the Roland Garros champion for 2025. After a very topsy-turvy match, the first set was 77 minutes and there was parts of it where Sabalenka looked like she was going to dominate the final. Coco's played a really solid, controlled match in very difficult conditions against an erratic opponent. It's her second Grand Slam title after winning the US Open 2023. In her third final, and at the age of 21, it's only onwards and upwards for Coco.
It's fantastic. All right, it was dramatic and entertaining, if not the high quality. The win made it very difficult for them.
Yeah, the win was difficult. Maybe Sabalenka, because she played under the roof against Świątek, maybe the emotional energy of beating someone like Świątek at Roland Garros cost her. But this is also an incredible achievement for Coco Gauff, overcoming demons in her game, the quality of the opposition to win a second Grand Slam. It's a brilliant achievement for someone so young.
You've been able to identify all the tennis people. Do you know who that fella we just saw on the screen was?
The legendary actor Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, exactly. Well done. I thought it was a different era to you. Thanks a million for that, Stephen Higgins. Well done, Coco Gauff.